AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
All right. All right, listen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bootleg Cat Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hope everyone's having an amazing day, man. We got a dope episode today with my brother Wiz Khalifa, man. Shout out to the Khalifa, man, for checking in. You know, we got to sit down and talk for about, really we was kicking it for about 2 hours, but man, interview a little over an hour. Incredible interview with my guy. I've been friends with Wiz for a long time, and it's crazy because we've done interviews in the past, but this was like different. You know, we really just dropped the shit. You know, I appreciate Wiz for pulling up. Look, if you are fucking with me, hit the website, get you a hoodie. Go to bootlegkev.com. Click on the store. I got hoodies for sale up on there. Independent as fuck hoodies for the Bootleg Kev show. So if you support what I do, go do that. Also, make sure you support our sponsor, man. Shout out to our brothers at Odd Socks. Yes, Odd Socks official. .com. Look, go on there, get you all your favorite socks, man. They got Mike Tyson, Pimp C, Mac Dre, Nickelodeon. I got Back to the Future socks on as we speak. Fire joints, too. All you got to do is go to oddsocksofficial.com, use the keyword Bootleg Kev at checkout. You will save 20%, 20% off. Oddsocksofficial.com. And trust me when I say their draws are fire. They just launched underwear and they're amazing. Oddsocksofficial.com. Let's get into the Wiz Khalifa interview. Yo, Bootleg Kev Show special guest, my good friend, is here.
What's happening?
By the way, man, Liquid Death.
Yeah, yep.
Sponsored by Liquid Death today.
Yeah, yep, for sure.
Wiz Khalifa, man.
It was good, man. Good to see you, bro.
Good to see you too, buddy.
It's been a little while.
It has been a while, man. I feel like, I think the last time we did an interview or something, we did something on like Instagram during the, we did like an IG live.
Yeah, we did. It was when I was dropping music last year.
Yeah, and then we did the McQueen summer party thing.
Yeah, we did the McQueen party for sure.
Which was, yo, the whole entire pandemic had motherfuckers doing weird ass shit. Like I was DJing.
You caught COVID, didn't you?
Huh?
I said you caught COVID, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I had it. Yeah, you never caught it?
I did.
You did. Yeah, I feel like we all did.
I did. I caught it that week when LA had like opened up, like pump faked on us. Mm-hmm. And I went to Nobu and I went to the studio and then I couldn't taste or smell anything.
I remember that. That was like, I remember it was like end of May or was it June?
It was early June
and everybody, it was like all of a sudden this mental thing happened where we all just thought it was over.
Yeah.
I was in fucking Scottsdale turning the fuck up, DJing.
Yeah,
and
I got caught with the pump fake.
Yeah. And then I was like, wait a minute, I can't smell.
Mm-hmm.
That was the worst. I mean, I could still taste, and I didn't really have any like crazy symptoms outside of that.
It was random. I was eating breakfast, and I was like, couldn't taste the orange juice. I'm like, this is weird. Maybe it's just like bad orange juice or something. So I go upstairs. I got all these essential oils and mm-hmm. stuff, and I'm like shoving peppermint up my nose, and I'm like, no, I can't smell nothing.
Yeah, my wife was cooking, and I couldn't smell anything, and I was like, oh fuck, I just got home from like a weekend out in AZ.
Yeah.
And my dog has like this little piece of grass, like artificial grass mm-hmm. that he be shitting on sometimes. Mm-hmm. And there was like a turd on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, this is the ultimate test. So I got down.
Damn, bro.
I was like, I don't smell this shit. It's in front of my, I got COVID. And then just the whole crib ended up with it. So
the shit test.
Yeah, we were locked down, man. But yeah, I mean, it feels like everybody's kind of finally getting through. Did you get vaccinated?
No, I didn't get vaccinated.
Are you like not going to do it, or?
I'm not.
It just hasn't happened yet.
Totally against it. Yeah, it just hasn't happened yet. They talking all that shit about traveling and stuff like that.
Yeah, it'll probably help you specifically.
We'll see.
Some of these countries, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not against it. I'm just not in any rush either.
I hear you. I get both sides. Like I got homies that are like, yo, like I want to see the first year of this shit pass.
That makes sense.
And then let's see, you know, because like a lot of people got the Johnson & Johnson one, and then they pulled that shit off the shelf.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I just got my shit out the way though.
You got it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm not one of those people who think people are stupid for getting it. It's probably gonna be some type of consequences.
We'll fucking see.
Woo.
What kind of consequences do you think though?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Population control. Yeah.
I mean, listen, the population control dark hole is a serious one.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you start considering, like, just I feel like there's so much shit going on when we start talking about like Elon Musk and going to planets mm-hmm. and, you know, the resources on Earth at the rate that we're creating people. Mm-hmm. It's like something's got to give eventually. I don't know if we're going to be here when it happens.
Who knows?
But I could see that.
Yeah, it's real. It's real. I mean, and there's people that twisted to come up with stuff to actually do that.
Well, you know, and the other thing too is like the idea that COVID came from a lab mm-hmm. was so frowned upon initially when you would say that because, you know, it's fucked up. Like nowadays, like if you have any sort of perspective or bring up any sort of opinion that doesn't go with either side of,
yeah.
you know, society, mm-hmm. they label you as the other side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, hey, there is some like real clues that would make you think
Boom.
That this came from a lab. Right. But if you said that a year ago, people would be like, you're a MAGA Trump freak. But it's like, wait, like it's possible to like think for yourself sometimes without you having to be on, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
this thing, it gave a lot, even just the vaccinations. It just gives a lot of people some shit to argue about.
Everything, man.
Oh, I got one. Oh, I don't have one. Oh, I want one. Oh, you don't want one. Oh, you're dumb for wanting one. Damn. Oh, you're stupid for not wanting one.
I just want to stay off Twitter and the internet, man.
This just gives people some shit to argue about. The brands of fucking vaccinations give people bragging rights and shit like that.
Like, so, I'm a Moderna mommy.
I'm a Pfizer mama.
Yo, you ever heard? Like, yeah, there's like.
It sounds about right. Yeah. I stay away from all of that stuff.
It's
bro.
Weird.
I stay away from. I know you got to because you're in it every day. Like, you have to report back on that shit.
Yeah.
But me, like, I keep it so far away because, like, it becomes your reality after a while. Like, if you.
It also fucks with your energy.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I feel like you've done a really good job of. I don't ever see Wiz participating in just bullshit online.
Nah, I know my place, and you know,
yeah, like you'll throw a thought out there,
yeah.
and then everyone else will react to it.
Yeah. I love
you'll throw
that.
Some shit out there, like, yo, don't be around me if you're smoking backwards.
Right.
And then it'll go on every fucking like hip hop meme page, and then everyone chimes in, and then you're probably just smoking. You know.
I mean, like, on some G shit, I don't even look at the stuff afterwards. Like, I'll say something, and then I'll just sit my phone down.
That's how you almost got to do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you drive yourself crazy reading comments. Yeah. We drop fucking 3 interviews a week, and if I dived into the comments on these interviews.
Yeah, nah, for real.
Oh, God. Bootleg Kev's a culture vulture.
I just go on about my day. Like,
yeah,
I don't even realize how many people I piss off. But it's cool though, because people need to be pissed off. People need to, you know, have conversations, like you said, like alternative conversations.
With, yeah,
like,
I just think that we've gotten, you know, to the point, and you know, I think the Trump shit is a lot to blame with this.
Yeah,
where everyone is so tribal with their thoughts, mm-hmm, to where, like, you know, if you don't agree on everything over here, mm-hmm, that side will just tell you to go fuck themselves. You know, I was talking to Killer Mike, and, you know, Mike is a big gun advocate, right? Mm-hmm. Which is okay. But, like, he's also with Bernie Sanders, right, in Alabama, advocating for unions for Amazon workers. But there's, like, people who, like, agree with Killer Mike on everything else, mm-hmm, that will hang him out to dry because he believes in the Second Amendment.
Right.
And it's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, you should be able to believe in whatever you want to.
Sometimes,
and
I just
talk about it too. Like, yeah, that's the real part. Is like, you really can't say shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it shouldn't be like that, to where one conversation will just spark everybody calling you these names or thinking you're this type. It's like, we can just talk about it. Yeah. Maybe I need to learn some shit that I didn't even fucking know a point of view on it or whatever, whatever. But to be able to bring the conversation up and not have to, you know,
be boxed in or labeled.
Oh my God. And have your whole day ruined by, you know, other people's opinions. You don't deserve all of that.
That's 100%. It's crazy. Did you know, I'm a big Joe Rogan fan, and I went there with Freddie Gibbs, did his podcast a couple months ago, and we went out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Did shrooms with Joe.
Oh, sweet.
My fucking face was melted off.
Y'all did the shrooms on the show?
No. We did them that night at a comedy show.
I didn't get that lucky.
It was rough.
y'all ate just like regular shrooms?
So I fucked up because I ate an edible.
Uh-huh.
Like a pretty strong edible. And then I ate shrooms and I was drinking like a fish.
Yeah.
And then we went to Sixth Street. And we went bar hopping, and bro,
this is Texas?
Yeah, in Austin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because he moved his show down.
Yeah. So it was probably a really rough trip for me, because I really thought that, like, we were gonna get killed.
Fuck it.
I was paranoid as fuck. I thought everybody was trying to, like, smoke Freddie. I was like, bro, we'll end up like Pop Smoke out here, bro. Like, yeah. I was really freaking the fuck out. And then I just woke up in my hotel room.
Yeah, yeah.
It was rough, but you went on the Rogan show, which, mm-hmm, I thought was super dope. Did you get, like, I feel like that's another guy who we're talking about who, like, just speaks freely for 3 or 4 hours at a time. Right. So he's bound to say some shit that can piss any amount of people off. Did you get any, like, blowback from anybody for?
Nah, man, actually I got a lot of love from that interview.
Of course.
Man.
It was a great interview.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You guys were high as fuck.
We were stoned. I just woke up. I was really excited to do it, first of all. And then when I got there, there was no, like, real format or anything. It was just like, yo, just sit down and we just start talking. So, yeah, I mean, the vibe that I got from him, and of course is authentic, and he's a cool ass dude, but he just says what he thinks is real and what he believes. And if he believes it, he believes it. If he doesn't, he'll ask you and talk to you, but he's not really going to challenge your opinion. He's just going to say what he believes. And I'm cool with that. Like, everybody standing on.
I also like the fact he's very open to your perspective.
Right.
Like, he'd be 100%. Like, oh shit, I didn't even look at it that, mm-hmm, way. You know what I mean? Like, he has people from all sides.
You never see nobody get on there and argue with Joe.
They just talk.
Everybody just talks. But they don't always agree. They're not saying the same exact thing. But they're not fucking going back and forth and shit.
I feel like if the world was like that, it'd be bad. Because all we just yelling at each other.
Yeah,
bro.
I mean, and he's
or funny. Tweeting at each other, really, with, man, lots of caps.
Nah, it's weird. I don't even fuck with a lot of that type of stuff. Y'all are my homies, so it's like, y'all could get anything. You know what I mean? But really, like, on the outside, and, you know, just shock value and all of that stuff, clickbait, it's a dark, real scary place. And I take that shit personal, mm-hmm, like for real. If somebody uses me
for a headline,
yeah, that's not cool. Like, that's not what we in it for. So even to try to set people up like that and make things out of, I've never been in it for that.
Well, I feel like you also don't do a lot of, like, you do interviews, mm-hmm, but you're not like, you don't do like a lot of sit down shit. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like
I was just thinking about it earlier today. I don't do a lot of that. But, well, I do. but it doesn't go crazy because nobody fucks with me. Like, nobody.
And I feel like you're very good at when someone tries to hit you with one of those gotcha joints, you just shut that shit down.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely a mutual respect where I'm like, okay, you got to do what you got to do. You got to try to get these questions off. But I'm not going to break my character or, you know, my integrity for your headlines. You dig what I'm saying? We're going to keep it light. We're going to keep it cool. And if that's not interesting, then you don't even want Wiz. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not coming here for no drama or no bullshit. And I think people really understand that, and they don't really approach me with that. They don't try to bring that out. And yeah, I feel very fortunate to have that be a part of my career. You dig?
Yeah, 100%, man. Mm-hmm. Are you still heavy in the gym?
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, your transformation just as a dude.
Yeah.
It's pretty serious.
I used to be little as hell, bro.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, you were Wiz. You're skinny, tall, skinny cat. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you're yoked up doing kickboxing and all that. Man, and it was definitely, like, inspiring to see, like, how committed you were to not only, like, getting bigger and getting, like, stronger, but also just the fighting shit. That's
for
like
sure.
Like, it felt like you were all, like, you're all in on that shit.
Yeah, 100%. Like, for me, like, I'm not trying to be the biggest dude in the world, the biggest gym freak or anything like that.
Right.
Like, I think I just kind of started just to learn, and the more that I started that I would be able to put, like, the gym aspect just into life or music or whatever, art, creativity, science. Excuse me. It all just made more sense and kind of tied in. And, of course, you get the physical benefits from it if you stick with it. Like, you can't just do what I did in, like, 6 to 8 months. It takes years to, like, transform your body. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still in the process of, you know, keeping it going. And
because you were training with at Jay Glazer's place, right?
Yeah, I still am there, yep. And, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of layers to that, bro. Like, there's the business layers. I became an owner in the PFL.
I was going to get to that, yeah.
We got gyms all over. I'm going to have my own protein shake and stuff like that, wow. Like, based off of it. There's, like, the family aspect. Bro, I know so many fighters around the country, around the world. We can go to any gym. We can go to any, you know what I mean?
It feels like when you have something like that in common with someone, it's almost like a brotherhood. Because you're like in your most vulnerable space with these guys, training, sweating, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're probably, as a rapper, you're so used to being in situations where you're that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, you're headlining every show you're on. Mm-hmm. Everyone's there to see you. You go to a gym with a bunch of killers. It's like, you know, you're in a different position.
It's definitely humbling. And, you know, anybody who comes from, like, our position, we just want to learn. So I feel like that was always my goal. So when you get to a point in rap where I'm at, where you're not really learning too much from anybody around you. You want to be the new guy at something, and you want to have,
like, you've mastered the rap game.
You want some OGs around you. You don't want to, you know what I mean, always be the one who everybody's looking to for everything. And the gym definitely allows me to do that.
With PFL, how did you get involved in that? Because for people, there's like they just did an ESPN deal. My producer's
a
big.
Yeah, we just did
that's deal. A big deal, man.
Yeah, super big. So it's been going on for about 2-3 years now.
So you're a part owner of PFL.
Yeah, yep. And basically, it's just an alternative to the other fighting leagues. And we have a regular season, and we have playoffs, and we have a championship. And other superstars who competed other places, they can come to the PFL and join the season. And we go off of a point system. So the people with the most points, that's who advances in their weight class.
Is it similar to, like, I think a point system, I think, like, the way NASCAR does it? Is it kind of close to that?
I don't know shit about NASCAR.
I just know that they do I just know they do points.
I mean, I could learn about NASCAR if y'all
essentially, because that's a new way of doing it, because you're talking about season. You know, we're so used to seeing UFC. It's a pay-per-view thing. It's so this is, like, more like
may the best person win.
Whoever's got the end of the points goes to the play. Is it like playoffs?
Yeah, it's playoffs for sure. And the championship.
Fire.
You know Clarissa Shields?
Yeah.
The female boxer? She crossed over to the PFL, so she's making her MMA debut with us over there. So it's going to be a lot of stuff like that where you see maybe people from other sports crossover or people who are superstars in other leagues. They might not have, you know, got the championship shot. But they come to the PFL again.
Would you guys take on, like
celebrity fights.
Yeah, like if one of these Paul bros were like, "Hey man, I'm trying to get in the octagon."
I don't see why not. I don't see why not. We would train them up. We would start them in the season, and we see how far they go. Yeah, I mean, you got to compete. Like, it's not going to be like a popularity contest. So
yeah, I think that's.
But those dudes, they bang. Like, they really fight.
That's what I'd be trying to. I mean, like, look, man. Like, I'm a. You know, if you're a boxing fan, you got to at least be excited that there's attention on the sport again, right? Because on the undercards of these fights, there's some real boxing moves.
Yeah. I mean, and like the actual fights that we've seen so far haven't been like real fights. They've been more like exhibitions or.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we get in there, but the way that they train and what they're prepared for, they're really fighting. You know what I mean? They're not just taking pictures or going to the gym and fucking warming up and looking good. Like, they're getting it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that that'd be crazy. So What do you think would differentiate the PFL from, because you know there's Bellator, there's UFC. Mm-hmm. I would say those are probably the big two, right?
Right.
But you guys got an ESPN deal, which is all automatically great because you got eyes behind it. But what kind of differentiates what you guys do or makes what you guys do unique compared to those two?
It's more for the fighters and for the fans. Not to say that take away from any other corporation, but. Yeah, we just keep both in mind. We want the fighters to make money as well as gain popularity, and we want the fans to get the best bang for their buck. So, you know, you have your lower tier. You can start here, and then you got your, gets a little bit higher, and then you got your top tier. So you're getting what you spend your money on and what you spend your time paying attention to.
I do feel like that's one thing we always hear about UFC is that the fighters kind of get paid unfairly.
The fighters have issues.
They have gripes.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, because you'll see some of these pay-per-view numbers and then you'll hear what someone made who fought and you'll be like,
yeah, there's
what is only, happening?
Like, I forget what the exact numbers are, but there's only a handful of, you know, those fighters who have actually fought for $1 million or more. And that's what our main prize is at the end of it, you get $1 million if you win and a championship.
Oh, so. I mean, yeah, that's awesome.
Fuck yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Train hard, win a mill.
Where are you at with music right now? Because I feel like at this point in time, you just do what you want. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we'll get a random tape from you. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're hopping on songs that with people who you fuck with. Mm-hmm. You know, last year we got the EP, but like, what do you? How do you feel about? I mean, by the way. Love the fact, finally, last year we got Kush and Orange Juice on Spotify.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
That was a big fucking deal.
Yeah, everybody was fucking with that. That's funny.
But yeah, like, where are you at music-wise, man? Are you still inspired? Are you still, like you know, how do you feel about the rap game right now?
I love the way that the rap game is moving now. I think a lot of the work that I put in and paved the way on is, like, paying off not only for me, but for a lot of other people.
Facts.
So, you know, with that in mind... I see the next step in my evolution, and I'm always working on it. I'm always in the studio. I'm always working with new artists and things like that. But for my own personal project, the next thing for me is to just, you know, have another big moment that is stand out, not just to other people, but really impresses me. And I know what I want to talk about, and I know what I want the numbers to look like, and I know what, you know, type of people I want to impress, but I can't get there until I actually create the project. So that's what I'm doing, is I'm making the sound and I'm getting the content and everything that I really think is gonna, you know, take me to the next level in a lot of different people's opinions as well as mine. And you know, that's working with different production, working with different writers, just trying to put together, not really trying, but putting together a full-ass project that's going to be the evolution of, you know, who I am in my career.
Yeah, I feel like you've gotten to the place in your career where, like, sure, you'll take another See You Again, right? Because it's one of the biggest songs of all time.
Right.
But at the same time, you're Wiz Khalifa. Like, you're a fucking, you know, I think that there's probably three other guys, like, in your category as far as just, like, my grandma knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so like that's, it gives you freedom kind of, because you can just make what you want. And you can, like you said, like you're trying to craft a project or a new sound, or like you could be as patient as you want with that. Sure. Like
my main thing is the message. So if the message isn't right, or not even that it's not right, but if it's not telling
the message of the music.
Yeah, the message in the music. Yeah, absolutely. If it's not I don't want to just scratch the surface, or because I've already done that. I'm in the game, I'm deep in the game. So I'm just being really, really conscious of the things that I say. And I love what's being made in music now, but there's no way that I could say that and be completely fulfilled. And it takes time, you know what I mean? It takes time to really put together a full meal for motherfuckers to really digest and enjoy. And, you know, everything that I make, I feel like is fire, but it's like, if you go fishing, you can't catch every fish. Like,
of course.
I want that big fish. So I'm really just shaving the fat and
What is the message that you want to like put out there in the new shit?
There's a lot of different things with young artists. There's way too much violence with the younger artists.
Man, I just had this kid Fulio from Jacksonville here, and I had to like, I was like really trying to talk to him, like, hey man, like, I don't know if they got this beef going on out there. It's so crazy, disrespectful. Like the violence is crazy, and it's so much of that. And that's what these blogs are feeding our timelines too. And it just feels like.
Yeah, it almost seems like dudes are like getting into it to start beefing with each other.
It's like, that's why you got into rap, to get like
out of that.
Yeah, and if you think about like, you know, rest in peace to King Von, but like the issue between him and Quando Rondo, like those guys aren't even from the same city.
Right.
So like that was a rap beef.
Rap beef.
It'd be different if like King Von got into it with someone from Chicago while he was in Atlanta. But yo, guys are dying over rap beef.
It's not productive for anybody or anything.
And no one's like, where are the companies that are behind these guys, or the big homies, or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, the labels are signing them because that's what's like fueling it and making it go further, because it's not really in their hands. It's like, it gets like just this type of the songs that they play and the words that they say, how disrespectful they are to people's families.
It's insane.
It wouldn't affect the same if it wasn't mainstream.
I agree.
If you had to dig deep to find that stuff, then it wouldn't affect it the same. Yeah, but
there was,
you have people who have nothing to do with any of that
pushing,
singing it in the club or riding around in their car listening to it. So it fuels it. It puts so much more onto it than actually would be there if it was just beef.
Did you see the Vanessa Carlton remix?
Mm-mm.
The 1,000 Miles remix where they're like on the golf course?
Mm-mm.
Yo, it's crazy. Yeah.
You should have a reference here, but
yeah, nah. put it in. Now, this kid, Young and Ace, put out, you know, 1,000 Miles with the white girls, the song from White Chicks.
How's it
if going? I could walk
1,000, yeah.
They redid that song and literally just did a whole entire song, 3 minutes straight, just talking shit about their ops' dead friends by name.
That's crazy.
It's insane, and it's like 25 fucking million views, and it's like, damn, bro.
Yeah,
like,
that's the type of shit.
What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, you should, like, yeah.
So you kind of want to come in and, because I feel like there's no balance right now, especially with the younger kids, man. Like, you know, I think there's like kids like Cordae that are amazing. And
yeah.
But as far as just like, it feels like there's a whole generation that's just.
Well, I'm just speaking from a perspective of not preaching to nobody, because I'm still living my life too.
Of course.
But I'm not no washed up nigga that you could just be like, oh, shut the fuck up, we don't want to hear what you got to say. It's like, nah, you have a choice whether you want to listen to what I'm saying, but I'm gonna say it though. So like, I'm definitely touching on subjects from a perspective of I've been through it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to come out of Pittsburgh to get to where I'm at, and facts. I would never want to go back to them circumstances that
I
was in when I was, you know, coming up.
We had Chevy here, and Chevy told the story about how they just tried to kill him not too long ago.
Right.
And you know
he's
what I'm
been
saying?
In the game.
And he's been out here. Mm-hmm. He's an OG. And, you know, we all know Chevy. Chevy's a great guy. But it's like, you just never know, man, when you come from that world, especially when you're back home, man. It feels like back home's where you're always going to get the most haters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the goal is to try to be able to operate your business without worrying about any of that stuff.
Right.
And I just want to definitely push people in the direction of, you could still be cool. You could still, you know, be that nigga. You could blah, 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 but be safe. Like, you don't have to show money. You don't have to show guns. You don't have to disrespect anybody. And if you really got a problem with somebody, there's a place to take it where you could be tough. But, like, that's another thing is a lot of dudes would rather shoot than fight.
Yeah, you can also try to resolve the situation.
Yeah, talking.
I know you've had situations that were resolved off camera.
I've had a lot of situations that people don't even know about.
100%.
Because it's not even that serious. You know, if you really want to get to the bottom of it, you can. And, So that's what the gym does, too, for me. Because a lot of people do think they're tough and they want to fight. They want to throw hands. And they'll say in a heartbeat, oh, I'm not going to no gym. I'll shoot it out, blah, blah, blah. That other thing. That's because you can't last 3 minutes.
You actually can't fight. You don't have the cardio
you can't
skills.
Fight. I've seen you swing like a bitch.
Right, right, right.
So you don't want to get embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? So remove that from it and really get it off your chest if it's really an issue. And there's a lot of rappers, securities who be acting tough, and you know my big homies.
Of course.
They're like, look, we're starting a security fight.
I was going to say, your security, for people who don't know, his security got their old fucking fighting league in Vegas.
Like, you know what I'm saying? For all y'all big motherfuckers who want to be frowning in the club and all that shit.
They'll get put in an arm bar quick.
Yeah, bring it to the mat. Be productive. You know what I'm saying? We can all get money after that. We can get money out of the situation. But, you know, bring it there. A lot of niggas ain't signing up. But, you know, we'll see what it is. But at least there's an alternative, and we're trying to put it on a mainstream level of we're not with that other shit. We're with this. This is what we're doing. We're doing martial arts.
Right.
We're working together. We're doing this. We put niggas on the road together. We work out when we're on the road. And, of course, niggas going to have problems. You're going to have beef. But like you said, what's the alternative to, you know, resolving the situation?
You've always had the... like one of the best ears in hip hop, I feel like, when it comes to just new talent. Like, I feel like you're always, you know, even when, you know, I just think back to all the times, like, I first heard somebody was with you when you were DJing in a bungalow something, you know what I mean? In Vegas. And I'm like, oh, what's this? Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. You know, I really think like the first time I ever heard Uzi was with you. And this was, I don't even know how many years ago that was, maybe 2015 or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how tapped in do you try to stay? I mean, obviously you have Taylor Gang, you sign artists and all that, but like just as a fan, like do you still like, because sometimes I'll be feeling like, man, I'm so busy. I don't even got time to be a fan of this shit no more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As far as just discover new artists and, you know, but like, do you still even have time to even be a fan or and try to find new artists, or, you know, not even for your label, but just in general?
Yeah, just in general. I think just the game and music consumption has changed a lot. And that race to find that new shit has just become like, everybody's so thirsty now. Like, niggas is just digging and like reaching for what's new or what's hot. And for me, I like to just see what I enjoy. And a lot of the time I just stumble on it, or my homies will play it, or my son now, he plays a lot of new music and shit that I never even heard before. And I don't even really have to search for that shit no more.
It comes to you.
Yeah, it just kind of pops up. But in those days that you were talking about, like, that was a lot of fun, because that was really, you know, a selection of music. It was like, all right, I'm not listening to none of that. This is the shit that I like. And that was more what I like to put out to the world is what I enjoy, whether people like it or not. Post Malone was one of them first motherfuckers. Like, there's a lot of people where it's like, I just supported them just because.
I know, even 21 Savage. I remember you playing 21 Savage super early.
Super early, yeah. I pulled up to him at one of his shows just because, like, I fucked with his vibe. And I had been in Atlanta, you know, recording some music, getting some tattoos and shit. And it just, you know, it just rubbed off the correct way. But I think it's really important to just be open and sensitive to all of that shit. And even right now, with the world about to be back open, I already know what my playlist is going to sound like. It's not going to sound like everybody else's, because that's not the vibe that I want to bring. Yeah. I want to inspire a different feeling. I want to have a different groove. So there's going to be some shit that you don't know. There's going to be some shit that you do know. And fuck, we just going to have a good time.
Yo, have to stop the Bootleg Hip Podcast real quick and shout out our sponsor, Odd Socks. That's right. They've been holding us down from the jump, man. And they're not only the makers of the most comfortable socks in the world, shout out to Odd Socks, but they also now got the draws, man. The boxer briefs are so fire. They're so soft. They feel great on your ass, your nuts, whatever you're into. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you got, they'll cover them up real, real comfortably. And ladies, you know you can wear these things to sleep. So go to oddsocksofficial.com. Use the keyword bootleg kev. Save 20% off. You know, one of the licenses they just got that I love are the Naruto socks. They just got the Naruto socks. Of course they got WWE. Those are Mankind socks, ladies and gentlemen. SpongeBob. And shout out to the GOAT, Ric Flair. So what you got to do, get you some Odd Socks. Thank me later. Save 20% off at checkout by using the keyword bootleg kev at oddsocksofficial.com. And we are super proud that they're presenting this podcast. Let's get back to it. I feel like, too, what was dope about the pandemic is it made people listen to music differently. Mm-hmm. It made us, like, instead of standing on couches at the club and, you know, hearing shit that way, I think that there was like a resurgence of, you know, some real rap shit popping off.
You think so?
I think so, because I think I just look at the Grammy nominations, right? It was Freddie Gibbs. It was Royce the 5'9", D Smoke.
Yeah.
It was just all some real rap shit that I think that might have gotten overlooked in other years, because I feel like we're listening in headphones. We're listening at home. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think the content for this year changed because everybody just became more conscious of what was going on around them.
Yeah.
And people tried to make more songs that were geared towards that as opposed to, like, you know what I mean? Different things. In my opinion, it made people dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah, I think, like, yo, Griselda had a crazy year last year. You know, like, what I'm saying? Like,
it's definitely, like, the vibe has changed for sure. Due to, like, what you're saying, people's attention span. But I want to get back in the club, though. Like, fuck that shit.
Oh, I know you do.
I want to stand on the couch, yo.
For sure.
I need to be on the couch. That's inspiration.
Hey, going back to your freshman cover in 2010, that was, in retrospect, one of the most historical covers I think they ever had at XXL. It was you. It was Nip. It was Freddie Big Gibbs Sean. Fred. It was... J-Rock
was on
there. I'm missing.
Cole was on there.
Cole was on there. Like, such, like how crazy, like, do you ever, like, look back and kind of reflect on, like, some of your moments in hip hop? Because that's like a historical moment, man.
Yeah. It's dope. When you're coming up, you look at the past and be like, oh man, I wish I would have came up during that time. But we definitely had our own era where it was like, that was our golden era. You could say it was like how it was when Tribe was out. And
yeah, it was like,
that.
I always look, that I love, was my favorite era was the blog era.
That was our own version of that. And we lived it too. We were couch surfing. We were flight hopping. We were concert going. We were studio sleeping. We was really thugging. And everybody was helping each other out. So it was all like you said, the blog era. We made the music and then the blogs put it out. So it was the relationship.
It was always fun to find new artists on like Two Dope Boys. And like those days, I was like, it felt like that the curators, there was more of a selection to where you knew if you went to a certain website, you find some shit that you're looking for. Right. I feel like nowadays, the curators are like a few people at these DSPs. Yeah.
It was hard to get into those things too. Like, you really had to be dope.
But they would also take chances on artists.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure. They would post one thing, and if it didn't get that many likes, they would still post another one. It's a popularity contest now, which is cool. It's not that bad, but that shit only lasts, 15 seconds, so.
Yeah, I feel like the streaming shit is cool, but it's like also, it's made it extremely, I wouldn't say hard, but I feel like harder than ever to start from scratch and have a career, because you really got, there's like a few, I'm talking about on some independent shit. There's just, you know, you got to get on Carl Cherry's radar. You got to get on, you know, whoever's to really kind of break through some of those editorial playlists. And
you think so?
I think so, man.
I think you just got to get a good 15 seconds.
What do you mean?
Like, of a song.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. You good.
All right.
Yep, you don't have to have a whole song. You got 15 seconds, a nice little hook.
TikTok?
A little something that loops.
Put it on TikTok.
You good.
Hey, you had a TikTok moment. Something new.
The fans did that.
That's something new. But I was like, oh, shit. This shit is like 2 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fans did that. That was cool as hell. That happened during the pandemic, too.
It did.
Everybody was at home with their families, TikToking it up, using the app and all that.
You mentioned your son, Bash, who, you know, I think is probably intellectually like one of the smartest kids. That kid is, how old is your son now?
He's eight.
I was going to say he's probably eight, going on like 15 as far as his brain. Like he's a very smart kid.
He's sharp.
Yeah, he's a very sharp kid. You know, I thought it was dope to see you do the Oreo commercial recently.
Thank you.
What is it about how you and Amber have raised him that you know, I think to like how I see a lot of fathers with their kids and like what do you think is special about how you guys decided to raise him? Is there anything like that you would give as far as like advice to other parents out there?
I think we both share a lot of the same views, if not pretty much all of them, on how he should be raised. And that's really important to be on the same page with your partner, because you're trying, you have to, there's a push and a pull. Some people might want to see their kid grow up this way. Some people might want to see it grow up that way. And from what I've learned is that's really just personal with the parents. And if you're grown enough and brave enough to let that go for the better of the kid, then that's when they're able to benefit. So, you know, there's some days where he might not want to go to school and she might be like, all right, cool. And if he's with her, that's her rules. You dig what I'm saying?
Right,
I'm like,
right. All
right, cool. Your mom said you don't got to go to school.
Some hooky today, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, your mom, blah, blah, blah. Right. You need to be, you completely let that go and it is what it is. He's with me. Oh, we eat McDonald's today. You know, she's like, oh, cool. He deserves a cheeseburger. He's been good.
Right.
Now, don't be feeding my baby that. You know what I mean? There's a lot of little stuff that starts there. The little stuff. Like, you got to be able to get along. And then when it comes to make big decisions, then you right there on the same page and there's no friction. And that's how me and her are. It's like we start with those little blocks. And he's a really good kid. He's really understanding. He's really, you know, fortunate. We live right down the street from each other.
Right.
So he gets to spend a lot of time with both of us. He's not really missing out on too much. So
is he on the Roblox?
Yo, he's Robloxed out.
Man, that Roblox.
Yeah, he's Roblox and Fortnite for sure.
I didn't realize that Roblox was a publicly traded company until recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought some stock because I was like, I know how much fucking money I'd be putting into that Roblox for my
damn games. My 7 year old. They go up and down though. Like,
you gotta
find the company that makes the game.
That makes all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even Fortnite, like Fortnite's kind of, you know, it was a wave and now it's, you know, it's,
they go up and down, bro.
You're not like a big gamer, right?
Nah, man, I don't game. That shit take too much time out of my day. Like, yeah,
it's a lot, dude. It's almost like it's fun, but then you just feel like, fuck, man. Like, you're not being very productive with your day.
I used to play games, but I started rapping when I was 14. So, like, that whole muscle of sitting down and doing that I don't even have that, bro. Like,
I love seeing Snoop on Twitch.
Yeah,
when he rage quits.
Oh yeah, I love that shit. he really means it too. Like,
oh yeah,
that's not no acting or none of that shit. Like, he really be hot, bro. Like, Snoop be upset.
We were talking about mushrooms earlier.
Yes.
Talk to me about the craziest trip you've had. Because a lot of people take mushrooms, they microdose, and they get through their day. And then there's other, you do that, what do they call it? The master dose or the, no, like the super dose.
Yeah.
It's supposed to change your life.
Like the God.
Yeah, the God dose or some shit.
I don't know.
Yeah, like what's the deepest, like craziest trip you've ever been on? And what'd you get out of it?
It's probably when I ate mushrooms with my mom. We went to Coachella and I didn't know how to really dose it all like that. So I took a shit ton and she took a lot of them too. And Outkast was playing and we just have like this cool relationship with Outkast because when we would go on road trips, we would always listen to Equimini. So I was like,
top five album all time.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. So we're like, Outkast, Coachella, we're doing shrooms. Hell yeah. And we took the shrooms and they were really, 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 really strong. And we were both just like laying down in the grass and shit like that. And it was cool. It wasn't too much, but I couldn't move. I didn't want to move. And I think the the deepest and realest thing that I took away from that was just the fact that I, at one point, was inside of my mother's stomach. And I was like, wow, we were, like, connected. You know what
right.
I mean?
It's
like, so when we were laying down, I'm like, we're basically doing the same thing.
We used
just
to do.
Us the same because we're the same fucking person. I'm like, this is deep, bro. You know, you're always going to be cool with your moms.
Of course, but that's another.
This is really,
and your mom, for people who don't know, like, Wiz's mom will be at the functions for sure.
Yeah,
like, your mom's a G for sure.
Yeah. So it definitely gave me a cool ass appreciation for moms.
That's crazy. Yo, it's crazy. You mentioned Outkast. I know you've always been extremely high on paying homage to the people who have influenced you. You got the Bone Thugs tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, you and Snoop are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we call you. You guys are like hip hop tag team champs for the last 10 years. There you know, like when you guys did that tour, it was
that shit was crazy.
Nah, it was amazing. But like, is there someone who, you know, you mentioned Outkast and Outkast, especially Andre, kind of not the most accessible and also really accessible at the same time, because you might see Andre at like 7-Eleven and be like, oh shit.
Sharing Ubers and shit.
But is there someone who you looked up to that you haven't, because I feel like you've connected with Cam, you've connected with a lot of people. Is there someone who you really looked up to that you haven't really got to like forge a bond with yet?
I was cool with DMX, rest in peace. I didn't get to do no music with him. I definitely was trying to do a track with him, like, because I seen him at Snoop's compound.
Mm-hmm.
We were both locked in for like 2 weeks. I was in one room, Snoop was in the other room, and Swiss and DMX were in the other room. So we were just mix and mingle, go upstairs, play pool, be in the kitchen, eating together. So we were supposed to collab like during that time, but we were just all just getting high and just having too much fun. I know I was. But so I didn't get to work with X. And Jay-Z, I definitely want to, you know, be in the room with him. Even if it's just one track, but I feel like, you know, just on a building type of level, cracking some jokes. He's in a weed game now. He's chopped it up with Burns, so we got some mutual friends and shit like that. So definitely Hove.
Yeah, how was it hanging out with DMX? I met him once and he was like exactly who I'd hoped. You know, DMX dying, man, probably just as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Nip passing away really hit me hard because I knew Nip.
Right.
But as a fan, as a kid, you and I are around the same age.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to the Hard Knock Life tour and leaving after DMX got off stage. This was like volume 2 Hov. So mm-hmm. he performed a couple of songs and we left. But that shit really fucked me up because I'm like, man, this dude was like my world for like 6th and 7th grade.
Yeah, X was crazy, bro. Like I remember walking to the store to go get his first album, well, the single before the album even came out. I had like Get At Me, Dog. And when the album came out, like, that shit was so fire. I remember my dad took it away from me because it was too explicit. But then he ended up giving it back. He was like, nah, you can listen to this one. This one's dope. Like, I fuck with X. Like, but just cooling with him, he's so much fun. I have family from New York, and he acts just like them. Like,
right.
Just really outspoken. If you walk in the room, he's going to fuck with you. Like, I had a cameraman at the time. And he was like, yeah, I know you. You, that's my camera right there. Thank you. I didn't even know you. Right. You knew I wanted one. Like, you know what I mean? Just fucking with niggas. Like, he was a real, real cool dude, real fun person to be around. So, yeah.
And you mentioned Jay getting involved in the weed game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jay's not, I don't know Jay-Z, but I don't know him to be a smoker.
No.
So
not before. I think, you know, more now than ever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, you're one of the biggest weed icons in hip hop history.
Mm-hmm.
So when guys like who are kind of coming from the outside of that world come in, like how do you feel about that?
Well, when it's people like Hove, I would never feel no.
It's like a boss move almost. It's of course, of
why
course,
not?
Yeah, why not?
Not why? That's like him getting mad because I want to be a rapper. <That's> Hey, sit down, little nigga. I got this. It's like, nah, fuck that. But that's like, I understand he probably, you know, wasn't at the forefront of it or like, you know, putting in the work on the side that we were,
right.
But to be faces of it, you dig what I'm saying, and do it the right way. I think that's the real goal, and just the I see the end goal, and the more, you know, bosses and big people, and Jay-Z has a lot to do with, you know, the jail system and the laws.
100%, man.
So
The fact that there's people right now across this country that are doing like serious prison time for like minimal amounts of weed is insane. Still,
so he don't gotta, he don't even have to smoke a joint. I'll smoke it.
You'll smoke it for him.
Yeah, just keep us good.
I mean, you're on your way to like, I mean, I feel like you've been making so many mogul type moves over the last decade. Like, you know, you got the shit on Postmates.
Yeah, Hotbox by
Wiz. The Hotbox by Wiz. I mean, there's just so much stuff that you have your hands in.
Liquid Death.
I was gonna say
PFL. I'm on TV. I got a show called Dickinson that's on Apple Plus. I play a character. His name is Death.
I haven't gotten Apple Plus yet. I only. You know what's funny is when you dropped your. Was it last year? Or the year before.
The Behind the Cam.
Yeah, that was the only time I got. I got fucking. I think I got everything but Apple.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right, I got to go watch this.
It's all good.
But so is the show on right now, the Dickinson?
Yeah, it's in the second season.
See, I didn't even know that shit.
Yeah, we about to drop the third season. Well, we about to start filming the third season. I leave to.
You have iconic rapper actor moments. And I mean that in the most respectful way possible.
I appreciate it.
Where it's like, I wouldn't say you've had moments where you obviously weren't a great actor.
Right.
But. It just works.
That's what they call me to set to do.
It's like Nas in Belly.
They just want me to be me, bro.
Nas just showed up and was just Nas in a movie. I forget what movie was it where you were on a fucking horse?
That was a movie with Amber.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like there were some other girls in the movie.
It was like the Gangs of Roses.
Oh, yeah. Me and my girl watched that shit and we were like, this is hilariously bad, but it's good.
But that's what you got to do, though, man. Like, look at like Samuel L. Jackson.
I was like, look at this motherfucker.
Samuel L. Jackson was in everything, bro.
Everything.
And then he became the GOAT later, but he did everything all the way up until that point.
You'll watch some old shit. Like
he got fucking killed. And he was a junkie. Like I think he's been killed way more times than he's actually
than any actor ever.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson's been murdered multiple ways.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, by multiple races of people too. So not just, you know, in the 70s. Like he got older and got killed too.
Can we give some flowers to Burner, man?
That's my dog, bro.
I think
shout out to Big Burn.
Burn is doesn't get enough love when it comes to just like, yeah, that mother, man. He's built a lot.
That's the thing. I think Burner actually does get enough love. He's just like the real GOAT. Like, when you're really the GOAT, you don't really see or hear or anything like that. But he's always putting in work, and all the bosses go through Burn. Like, I just seen a video with Rick Ross on Burner's cookie tour bus. You know what I mean?
Right,
Burner's
right.
Walking him around his dispensary that he just opened
in Vegas. Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? It's like, and shout out to Rick Ross because he's a boss, but Burner's not no little nigga. You feel me? And that's, like you said, the reason why he gets his flyers.
That's facts, man. Yeah. Talk about Taylor Gang. You know, obviously, one of the most iconic brands in hip hop. I mean, you know, from having Juicy J on the label. Mm-hmm. I think back to that Double XL cover where it was you, Juicy J. Was it Lola?
Lola.
Yeah, was Ty on there?
I think Ty and Shad was on
there. Yeah.
We had like the little Native American vibe.
Yeah, but like...
Americana vibe.
You know, who is currently... on the roster, who are you excited about? I know you have some new artists.
Yep, we got tons of new artists.
You're always signing new artists, definitely. I feel like.
Excuse me. So we still got Ty and Juicy, and Chevy, of course, Burner, of course. The new artist, Skate.
He's about Shout out to Skate, nice guy.
Skate's real awesome working.
I've known Skate for a very long time because he used to share a manager with Alden Smith from the 49ers, which is random.
Alden, that's a crazy kid.
That's a crazy boy.
I worked
out
with him.
He's a wild guy.
He just got back on, I think he's on
Cowboys.
Dallas. Yeah, he's on Dallas. Yeah. Jay Glazer helped him get that spot.
He's an interesting cat, but nah.
Bruh, I love him. I'm glad he's doing great.
But Skate, I really was like, okay, I see you on some white boy shit. When I saw his, you know, he was dating the girl, the Anima. I said, I see you, bro, making us look good out here. Because you know? I too am a white guy who's with a girl who probably most people would be like, nah, that ain't his girl. You know what I mean? So I respect it.
Skate's smooth, man.
Yeah, good dude, man. So who else besides Skate?
Skate, Young Deji. He's from Houston. He actually created the Woe.
We were just talking about him.
Yeah. Oh, y'all up on Deji? Sosa Man, he's from Houston as
well. Yeah, you got the H-Town shit locked up.
Chris Hollis, he's from Pittsburgh. And Fed the God, he's from Pittsburgh as well.
Pittsburgh is obviously, you know, That's the shit. Shout out to Will, who I don't think will ever move back.
Yeah, I know, man.
He used the pandemic as an excuse to go home, and now he's
skated on us, bro. He just slid real quick.
He's just on Zoom. I'm like, yo, when you coming back? He's like, hopefully never.
Nah, he ain't coming back. It's cool, though. He did his time here.
It's like jail.
Yeah, he did his time. He's allowed to leave.
Well, shit, man. Everyone should go, obviously, support. I mean, you got so much stuff going on, and you're working on new music. You've always been known to kind of do some collab projects here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any of that kind of stuff in the works?
Yeah, me and Juicy got a smacker, bro.
Really?
Yeah. We got a crazy album, and we got a crazy single for it already. So, yeah, that shit's going to be sick.
Would you and Ty ever do another project?
Me and Ty are working on an album, too, but he's doing one with Mustard. And I feel like that's more of a priority for him.
Well, the last project y'all put out, I think it just was on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm. No, well, we did move it to Apple to talk about it in the morning.
Oh, it's on Apple. It's not on Spotify, though, right?
No, I don't think it's on Spotify. We shot a movie for that, too, that we never even released. So maybe we'll dig that back up out of the archives. But yeah, me and Ty are going to do an album after him and Mustard.
Every summer, we get a tour from you, usually.
Yes. I was going to talk about that.
What's going on with that? So let's talk about it.
We're going to move it to the fall.
Okay, so that tour is coming.
Mm-hmm. The tour is on the way. We're figuring out the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to happen in the fall.
I feel like every summer we get Wiz and a plethora of amazing other artists.
Right. There's going to be somebody new. Last tour we had, Jack Harlow was the big opener. And you see what happened after.
I mean, I remember when Uzi was the first like big
opener.
That's
what I'm saying.
You're pretty good.
And before him, it was Kendrick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Moneybagg Yo's open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've had some really iconic movings on up in the rankings. So it'll be fun to see who comes through this year and then who smashes it afterwards.
I would like to see Blast open. I think Blast is the next guy out of the whole West Coast. And okay. I think the Blast opening slot on a Wiz tour would be nice.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
We're going to put them intentions in the air.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
You know, I'm always like, I ain't tripping.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, I'm trying to think who else. Who are you fucking with that's like, that you're like, yo, let's say there's a new artist that you're a fan of right now that calls you and you're just going to do the feature just because you like them.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. I like everybody. I love everybody.
Then there's also the fee. So rappers, if you got your bag right.
Nope. I don't charge.
Listen.
I need that swap because when you go number one.
No. Now you have charged recently. I set up a play for you and you got a bag off it.
Oh, because it was a bag on the table.
It was a nice bag.
It was a bag on the table.
It was a nice bag.
I'm not going to hit you if you ain't, you know what I'm saying? Because especially for like.
Well, I want to say thank you to you because you did a record for my artist in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And, this shit went. We hit like 1,000 spins at radio. Yeah. That was a
hell yeah!
Shout out to Brown Boy Maj Alexis. That was a fun time.
Yeah, man. Very fun time. We always there because it's a relationship thing. Like you got to be able to depend on somebody. So if you want to work, we could work. What you working with?
Hey, let me ask you this: what's one of your records that you wish would have been bigger? That you like was like, man, this is that shit, but it just never really hit like one of your big hits.
Let me think.
I feel like you got a bunch of them, to be honest, but there got to be one that sticks out.
I can't really say because if it don't go as crazy, I just let it go. I don't really trip off of it. I had a lot of songs that could have picked up.
I feel like the record with Gucci was crazy.
That song was insane.
I mean, it probably still went gold or platinum. You know what I mean?
I definitely have a plaque. For it.
Or even the record with Uzi.
The pull up.
I thought pull up was gonna be like a number one record. Now it also you got a plaque for it.
I have a plaque for that.
It's a great record. But yeah, I think that's the one that always stuck out. Like I was like, I remember talking to Beat Out, like, yo, this is out of here.
I remember going in offices and like dancing on tables to that song. I always put the intention out there and the energy there, and everything has to do with politics and you know. Whatever, fuck all that.
Performance. See you again at Kobe's thing, man. How tough was that? Because that's. I mean, were you even nervous to do that?
Yeah, I was nervous.
That's a moment.
I was nervous. It was rough too, man. It was like, it was hella people in there, but it didn't feel like. It just felt empty in that bitch, and that's like a big honor. You know what I mean? That's like a big. To have to do something like that.
Huge honor.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, just you know, get through it. make it what it's supposed to be. It's about him, you know what I'm saying? Him and his family. So, yeah, it was crazy.
You got a record like See You Again, and it's almost like, I mean, it's one of the biggest songs ever.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it like the biggest song in YouTube history or some shit?
Biggest rap song.
And it's a forever. I call it like certain type of records are just forever songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like songs that you'll hear at every wedding or you, and that's just a forever song. Like 100 years from now, that song will get played at someone's funeral. For you know sure. what I mean? Like, do you get tired of that song?
Nah, hell nah.
He said, nope.
Hell nah. That's the goal, man. I want them types of songs. Bob Marley has them songs.
Facts.
You know, Snoop got them songs. Prince got them songs.
Wiz
Khalifa got them songs.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think? You know, we always hear the term mixtape Wiz. You know, we've had so many classic moments, man. Taylor Alderdice. Yeah. We mentioned Cushion Orange Juice earlier. What is the... Do you even see a difference in like your mentality when you're in mixtape Wiz mode? Because that's a fan thing that was made up.
Yeah.
Like,
I could agree with the fans on that just from... like stepping out and then looking back in. There's a mixtape Wiz. Just like there's mixtape Wheezy.
Yeah, mixtape Wheezy something else though.
You know
man.
What I'm saying? I think there's a freedom to doing mixtapes, and that freedom is slowly, you know, dying and being pulled back away from us. It's because you can't release music. You can't throw
the
stuff
same
out.
Way you used to be able to. Because yeah, no one's on
sample clearances. Yeah. It's so
everything
difficult.
Has to hit the DSPs now.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and. Literally, if it doesn't reach the DSPs, it don't exist.
Yep.
And that's not cool. Like,
well, that just happened with No Ceilings 3, the Lil Wayne mixtape. I feel like we got that record with Drake on the DSPs, but other than that, I don't know anybody who was like riding around on Dat Piff. And shout out to Dat Piff. Shout out
to Dat Piff. We're still using that. Really? I dropped 3 mixtapes this year on Dat Piff already.
Yeah.
They just don't exist. I mean, not to downplay that, but it's like it, in the world and in music consumption.
It's hard. It's hard. Fans aren't trained these days like we were, where we're like, yo, I gotta hit Dat Piff, or I gotta, you know what I'm saying, I gotta hit SoundCloud.
And then the same fans will ask for mixtape Wiz or mixtape Wheezy will drop it on whatever platform that we can drop it, and they'll be like, when you put it on Apple Music? And it's like, dude, just get the fucking project.
Is there any plans to put some of the other classics up on Spotify? Because we got, we got Cushion Orange Juice. That's all that mattered.
It's a process because a lot of those beats have samples in them that won't be cleared. And I don't want to put out, you know, incomplete projects and things like that. So it takes a minute to really go back and like monetize all of that shit. And that's why we just now released The Thrill as a regular song.
Oh, The Thrill.
You know,
classic.
That song's been out for what, 10 years, and it just now is starting to, you could track what it's doing. Like,
right.
That shit is crazy.
Would you ever go indie, Wiz?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been with Atlantic for so long.
Yeah.
It's been a good marriage, but, you know, I feel like you're the kind of artist that can, I mean, you have an infrastructure and a team and every relationship possible, and I feel like you going independent is inevitable, man.
I would. I don't want to speak before, you know, my relationship with Atlantic is over with. I still got a couple albums to do with them. But in the grand scheme of things, you don't need a lot of that to do
that. Yeah, things are different than they were when you first signed.
Right, and I'm still cool with all of them.
Of course.
Like, I love Julie, Kaiser.
For sure,
I love
sure.
everybody at every department, the radio, the marketing.
Of course.
I love everybody. They treat me so well over there. But yeah, you just don't need... You don't need to do that stuff no more.
All the bells and whistles that comes with a major, it's like a lot of that you could do yourself.
Especially when you've been in the game.
Especially when you're Wiz Khalifa.
Come on now. I've been in the game for a minute. A newer artist, I see the need for all of that. You're still in training. You know what I'm saying? You haven't even had your superstar moment yet. So.
We didn't shout out your gin either. Amazing
McQueen,
gin.
McQueen and the
Violet
Frog.
I should have brought some from home.
I would have took a little shot with you.
Man,
little day shot.
The McQueen is amazing, by the way.
Yeah, good look.
I'd like to thank you too, because I never, now me and my wife's go-to drink is gin and lemonade.
There you go.
Which I never would have discovered if it weren't for partying with you guys in the Bombay days before there was McQueen.
Yeah, but we're not going to say that.
Nah, we're only fucking with McQueen now. McQueen and lemonade, take it to the head. Thank us later.
Yeah.
Vegas residency is probably going to be picking back up soon.
I start on June 4th. I just put up the flyer.
June 4th at Dre's.
Yep.
Tour this fall. Liquid Death.
Liquid Death.
PFL. Hotbox by Wiz.
Hotbox by Wiz.
McQueen. God damn.
Yep.
Taylor Gang Records.
Duncanville.
What's Duncanville? Oh, the TV show on Apple Plus?
Yeah, yep.
There's nothing this guy can't do, man.
Come on, man.
Oreo commercials with his son.
Let's go.
Am I tripping or did you launch a company based around your son? Did he do like a clothing line or something?
Yeah.
I mean, shit, shout that out.
Yep. The Bash clothing line. We about to re-release for the summer. The Bash clothing line is definitely out there.
This guy, man.
Come on, man.
And also.
Khalifa Kush.
Khalifa Kush. Would you, hey, Wiz, I feel like you could pretty much beat most people's asses in hip hop. Would you ever do the celebrity fighting thing if Triller hit you with like a fucking stupid bag?
You never know, man. I'm not going to say no.
An MMA fight, not even like a boxing fight, because boxing's different, but I feel like you're well-versed in
I would definitely do kicking and punching. Like, it wouldn't just be hands.
Mm.
So, if we can get a fight set up based off of who wants to do all of those, the right rules with the right person, I don't see why not.
Run the bag. Hey, who's second place to you in fighting skills that you've been around? I know OT's got, you know, he's been in there a lot.
I haven't sparred OT yet.
He's I feel like OT's like, you know, real short, little fucking stocky. Every time I see
OT could hold it down.
For sure. But who's someone else in hip hop you think, you know, that got hands like that you respect?
Who can move in the industry? Let me think. I'm trying to run it in my head. I'll give it to OT because I train with.
What about an athlete you've been around? Like as far as like maybe a football player, a basketball player or something? Because I know a lot of people train over there.
I'm like the top of the top, bro.
You the top of the food chain over there.
Yeah, ain't nobody eating like me over at that gym.
There it is, Wiz Khalifa.
Y'all can come down though and y'all can see what's good. Come to Unbreakable. We off of Sunset right behind Pink Taco. All y'all rappers, get y'all bag together. Come get a membership. Get your body right. Let's train. And then we could spar, we could hit the mats, we could do all of that stuff.
Mentioned protein powder too?
Yeah, yep.
So you got protein powder coming?
Yeah, yep. I got my own protein shake. It's going to be in GNC and all
that. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Wiz Khalifa, thanks for coming through, brother.
No doubt. Thanks for having me, fam.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.